League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's Uncle Silk.
This your boy 35, the All-American.
And Dan.
Fresh out the SEC Championship weekend. The vibes is beautiful. Nonetheless, the vibes are still beautiful on my end. How are y'all boys feeling?
I'm feeling better after this loss. It sounds weird to say that, but after this loss and the LSU loss. So I wasn't too thrown off by this one. I think we played well, man. There's some things that we got to get corrected, obviously. We weren't perfect. There's a lot of things we need to fix, actually. But all in all, man, we played to the end.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm tired. We had a hell of a weekend. We're going to break that down here in a second. But it's good, man. It's good to hang out. Shout out to everybody that came and met us. But I'm just recovering. I'm in recovery mode. My body just doesn't recover the way it used to, you know?
I hear that, man. I'm with you as well. We had a beautiful weekend. Atlanta was a great time. We actually got in a decent time yesterday, but I went down to Miami to check out the Trap Museum down there. And then I got home and passed out. Didn't get any tweets out. Didn't hang out and watch no TV. I said hello to my kids, hug them, and then I went to sleep, my brother.
Yeah, man. Let's get into the weekend. As always, this show is sponsored by our friends over at the Thomas Firm, which is going to handle all legal matters regarding insurance claims for property or damage to your home or business. So give them a call at 813-221-2525. Roof damage, leaks, water damage, hail damage, hurricanes, sinkholes, fires, whatever it might be all across the state of Florida. Give the Thomas Firm a call, 813-221-2525. So let's break down the weekend. Ahmad, we missed you. It was the three of us, Cam, Silk, and myself. Cam's brother joined us. A couple of Silk's friends joined us. But let's break down the weekend a little bit. Silk, what was your favorite part about Friday night over at Big Sky?
My favorite part about Friday night, we had good vibes regardless. So I think we went that morning, we went and had breakfast at the Atlanta Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. That was pretty dope. The food was good. After that, we went and checked out Dr. King's crib. I haven't been there since I was like 17 years old. So went back there to give me a fresh pick with the wife. That was pretty dope. And after that, we went to the Atlanta, whatever it's called, Botanical Gardens. That was beautiful. Right. And then we ended up at Big Sky. All that was fun. But then we ended up at Big Sky. We had some fans and Dan, your friend, your boy Ross came through. We had Annie and the crew come through. The guys from White Buffalo, they fell through. My man Ellis fell through. I could go on and on. Cassell. A lot of people fell through and showed a lot of love to us, man. So shout out to everybody that pulled up to Big Sky. But the vibes was great. Party got a little crazy later.
Yeah, it did. We had an awesome time. I mean, we probably had more than 100 people come by, probably 150 people come by that stopped by, say hello, said they were a fan of the show, were there for any period of time. Some people were there for 20, 30 minutes. Some people stayed until wee hours in the morning. I know when we jetted out at probably 12:30, Velo is still there and Crizelle was still there. Annie and her husband were there. So shout out to everybody that came. But it was an awesome event. They did a great job. We had an awesome live stream there. It was a cool spot there. So shout out to them. But I think that all of Friday was just a good vibe, man. Overall, the Botanical Gardens was great.
Yeah.
can't really complain about anything that's happening in Atlanta outside of that traffic situation. It's wild.
Yeah, I'm be honest. Everything was fire on the Botanical Gardens. I had fun hanging out with y'all boys in that setting. I never hung out with y'all at gardens and places like that doing the tourism thing. So that was dope. Hanging out with Cam, met Cam's brother. That was pretty fun. The Texas, what did he hook me up with? Texas margaritas. Them things was flowing. I forget the bartender name. I told him I was gonna give him a shout out, but he had them things flowing. Those were beautiful.
A Texas margarita. It's wild.
We could go back to Friday night for you to be Thursday night, to be honest. Because I think Thursday night when I got into town, things got weird right away at the bar. Which bar were we at Thursday night?
I think it was called Metro Diner. So yeah, I mean, so paint the picture. I go and get you guys from the airport because I'd been in since Tuesday. I was running an ultra marathon on this this weekend. So I get in Tuesday. Picked everybody up on Thursday from the airport. So we asked the guy downstairs, where can we go grab some breakfast or grab some something to eat? And so the guy's like, well, there's a Waffle House. And we're like, is there literally anywhere else? So he's like, yeah, there's a place right around the corner, right across from the Ferris wheel at Centennial Park that you can go called the Metro Diner. Not like the chain Metro Diner, just like a local spot. So we walked there thinking that it's next to the Ferris wheel. That was not next to the Ferris wheel. That was like seven blocks the other way. So we ended up walking
outside. We had to get a tour guide from a crackhead.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we got a tour guide.
He actually bought some for no money after he told y'all.
Oh, of course. We need to tell you about some of the homeless people we met. We met one at the King Music or at the King House, and we were like, "Oh, bro, we don't have any cash." He's like, "That's fine. I take Venmo. I take cash out." We're like, "Wait a second.
What?" Yeah,
he had to drop a poem for Silk.
I remember one time I was in Atlanta, and the ATM was like being all weird. So it was like this dude came over my shoulder and like helped me. And then ask for money afterwards. I'm like, bro, I've been using the ATM all my life. Like, I don't need you to help me, bro. And don't ask for money, bro. I'm sorry to cut you off.
He needs some help getting some cash for himself.
He gave us a so-called poem that just sounded like a bunch of tweets he wanted to get off. And then it was like, I'm taking donations. I'm like, for what, bro?
Like, you feel me? Like, what did you do, bro? How did you earn this?
For some additional training and poem writing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to take a picture from Dr. King House, bro. That's it.
So we finally get to this place. It's like 20 degrees outside. We've been walking for probably a good solid 45 minutes. And so we finally get there and we just pull up to this place and we're thinking that it's going to be like a diner, right? Like a better version of maybe a Waffle House. We get in and they have a DJ, they got karaoke, they got a whole bar situation set up. So second we sit down, like the only place to sit is at a bar. We all look at each other and I think it was Cam. He's like, all right, what shot are we doing, boys? We're like, oh.
Yeah, let's do it.
This how tonight's going down. So we were there and probably till about 2:30.
Keep in mind, I'm supposed to be grabbing my wife something to eat and coming right back.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
She got that food at 3 in the morning. It was cold. Like,
she probably was cussing you out through the text.
Oh, my gosh. She was going off when I got back.
That was one of the first times that we were able to sit down. We had to talk a ton about the podcast and everything else that we had planned for you guys. But man, that was not the vibe that we knew that we were getting ourselves into. And Friday morning came early. Saturday morning came even earlier.
Yeah.
so we get back from Big Sky. Probably about 1 a.m. We have to be at the Trap Music Museum at 8 a.m. All of us except for one person made it.
Who you think didn't make it, Black? Who you think it was?
Oh man, Dan didn't get there. Dan no. got there.
Nope, Dan got there. Got
there. Cam,
there you go.
Boom, oh boy. Man,
old Cam. I don't know if he wants to chime in here. Old Cam.
Cam, you got a car accident?
I was down bad, bro. I didn't wake up until they were gone.
I knew. That the night was not, I knew that the morning wasn't going to go well when we sent a text to the group. It's like, all right, everybody be downstairs at 7:45 so we can get there. And Cam wrote a text message response back in about 4 seconds. It said, we'll see. So,
and we saw.
Yeah, y'all saw, right?
We saw. But so why don't you take us through a little bit of the Trap Museum?
The Trap Museum was dope, man. I got a chance, an opportunity to kind of blend. I love hip hop music to my core. I love Gator football to my core. So to be able to blend them two was just an amazing time for me. Shout out to my man Reem, who also a Gator fan and got some connections there in Georgia to hook us up with TI business manager and make that happen, man. So, but we got there The crew went before us. Shout out to New Media, our filming crew that works with the Big Three Roll-Up Network. They got there before us, set up. We pulled in, me and Dan and the fam, and it was just we got a tour of the place. We got to go from the front to the back of it. It got a lot of artwork, a lot of handwritten lyrics from a lot of artists. Just a lot of dope things going on in there, man. But we got to set up and do a live show. Dan, what you thought of the place?
I thought it was awesome. You know, I wasn't exactly sure what to expect. I thought that they did a great job with it. It's super unique, but I love the way that they are mixing music and culture together. Right. I like how interactive the museum is. It's not a stuffy place, right? You got a lot of cool artifacts and stuff like that, but you also have a bar in there. They have an escape room if that's what you're interested in. It's got an art gallery component piece to it. So it's just a really cool place. I mean, you know, when I think of a place like that, that's kind of multi-purpose. I think of the Kush House and what you got going on. That's right. Multi-purpose. And, you know, it's not so much a museum to just show off all the things that like T.I. and a lot of the other Atlanta rappers have done, as much as it's a place to be able to stand around and, you know, talk and vibe out a bit. I was very impressed with what they did and the feeling of it when I was there.
Yeah, they flexible. They could do a lot of things in there as far as networking, parties, cater to a lot of different needs. But everything from like some of the art pieces, there's like whole artworks of say Future or Young Thug that's made of records, like the unique stuff right. That they have going on there. There's a lot of dope art, not just music. It covers music, but it had every coast. So like trap music is really an Atlanta or a South thing, but they had a little West Coast. They had some New York vibes going on in there. A lot of different things going on. So it was pretty special place. I'm glad we got to do a live show in there with my man.
Yeah, no, we got some really good content that's going to be coming out here soon. But shout out to everybody that came and joined at that event. And then after that, we went on a vegan adventure. To an interesting part of town. I'll end up at a place called Slutty Vegan, which is a kind of hole in the wall, but fantastic vegan spot. I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm a little skeptical about what we're getting ourselves into, both right. in the scene and then the food as a whole. But I came away 1,000,000% impressed by Slutty Vegan.
It was quite the build up. Everybody on Twitter was telling us, go check it out. That's the place to go to. And we went, man, pulled up the food. The line was everything. It's about a 30-minute wait minimum.
Yep.
We pulled up at the opening of the spot that day, and we had to wait in the line before the doors even opened, which is about a 30-minute wait, but the food was worth the wait. I had the Menage a Trois burger or something like that. What did you have, Dan?
I had the One Night Stand, which I think is like a traditional burger. Yours had what, chicken on it or shrimp on it? Or...
Yeah, it had vegan shrimp. It had the burger patty. It had the vegan cheese, and it also had the vegan bacon.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I was very impressed. Like I said, didn't know exactly what to expect. But shout out to them. I mean, they have an awesome little culture going on there. They've got it's a really great spot. So definitely recommend everybody. And if you're like, oh, I'm not vegan, I don't eat vegan food, give it a shot. I'm the same way. I came out super impressed. I wanted to go back and get some more. And then from there, we end up at Park Bar. We had a spot at Park Bar and do some miscommunication. We got there like right after 2, but a bunch of people got there and didn't know where we were. So they were upstairs for a while. So shout out to Cav and Ryan and a bunch of the other folks that were there. But everybody kind of mixed up together. And then we were there from what, 2 to about 6:15 or so. And it was a vibe to say the least.
Yeah, that turned into when I first got there, then I was like, okay, this is gonna be a chill. We can kind of do this before we go to our last spot. Don't look like this is gonna get too crazy. And then about an hour go by, I was like, yo.
it escalated quickly, and then I mean it got to a point towards the end of our time there, probably about like 4:35, that there's people that were DMing us saying, hey, we're in line, the line's too long. So we try to work some magic, try to get some people in the door. So shout out to everybody that came. But, I mean, we probably had, 70, 80 people swing by when we were at Park Bar, which is just a cool, really cool spot to be.
And we got some good pull with Stadium McGill. Gator Nation pull up heavy. They really – it's one thing to get the listens, but it's another thing to take this thing on the road and say we're pulling up somewhere and we have a crowd pull up everywhere we go to out of town. Gator Nation is real, and our support for Stadium Miguel is real. So,
yeah, we appreciate every single one of you that bought merchandise while we were there, that hung out with us over there, that told us they love the show, told us ways to improve the show, everything else, every single person that came from the bottom of our heart, we appreciate it.
Shout out my man Hinkley, too, for pulling up. Him and Pops pulled up. Always showing love.
Yeah, always, always, always. And then finally, finished the night at Fido up in Buckhead, which was a really cool spot. I wasn't exactly sure what to expect. I'd never been there before. We pulled up, and that's a nice bar right there.
Nice. I know from now on, we book anything in Buckhead, I need to bring my nice shoes.
Yeah, that's – I'm going to wear a sport jacket next time.
Right.
But we got there, a really great spot. We did a Q&A session in the middle of that. But shout out to Cav and the Gator Club of Atlanta that helped set that one up. We wish that we could have done something a little bit more official, but obviously with COVID and, you know, the Gator Club not wanting to promote anything too much. But had a bunch of people there. Everybody that swung by there was a really cool just feeling and opportunity to meet the listeners. Yeah.
A lot of love. And don't ever hesitate to ask me for pictures and stuff. Like, I like that shit.
Yeah. It's so good to feel like a celebrity. I want to give a quick shout out just to set the scene a little bit. I'm going to find out who the handle is because I forgot who it was. I was feeling some type of way Saturday night. So there we were. It was probably a couple minutes left in halftime, and I'm outside in that little courtyard area. Smitty Boy 0316 and I were chatting for a while outside, and we saw a girl absolutely smack the absolute crap out of some guy. Guess he found out he was cheating on her. She yelled at him, pushed him out of his bar stool. It was a wild scene.
Yeah, I like it. Sounds like a vibe.
Yeah, it was a hell of a vibe. I think she caught her cheating. Saw some text messages, all that stuff. The look of stun, look on his face was a great sight to see. So shout out to Smitty Boy. Glad we were able to share that life experience together. We were just laughing and chuckling until they looked over. Then we were serious and we're watching the game. But shout out to Smitty.
One time for Smitty. Shout out my man Johnny Relish for pulling up, showing a lot of love, man. Yep. Got me an autographed jersey from game worn from the Orange Bowl or something crazy.
Yeah, that was a nice jersey.
Yeah, one time for the Garrett boys. Them boys out of Jacksonville always pulling up. My man Garrett might be dead. We got to call, make sure he alive because he was throwing up pretty heavy outside of Fido.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Justin. I'm trying to remember. I want Ethan. Ethan, man, I like you a lot, Ethan. Sometimes your 1 to 10 can be scaled down to about a 7. but man, I appreciate meeting you. Who else was there that I want to give a shout? Doesn't matter. Everybody that was there, really appreciate everybody for coming.
Yeah. Sorry.
I know we went and dove in deep this weekend, but that's because we just want to really appreciate all you guys and listeners that did show up. And next year when we're back, Ahmad will be there. That way people won't have to awkwardly ask Silk if he's Ahmad.
Yeah, that happened like twice.
Bro, shut up, bro.
I swear, what was that? Yeah. What was that?
Boys put you in the national championship?
The guy comes over there and is like, is that Ahmad? I was like, shit, I might have to be in a minute.
Silk said no, and the guy just like walked away, didn't even say anything. Just turned around.
He said hi.
He obviously knew who we were. Oh, and then shout out to the boys at the when we were checking back into our hotel and on the elevator. And it had just been a day. It had been a long day. And Silk and I are just kind of sitting there, just kind of faded off, looking off. And these two hyper young, probably college kids were like, is that you, Silk and Dan? We're like, yeah.
Right.
Oh, huge fans. I'm like, oh, man. I wish I could give you the love that you deserve.
Oh, boy, Dan got them fans out there, boy.
No, they're all Silk fans. I'm just associated with Silk, you know?
Nah, the Stadium Miguel fans, man. The Gator, like I said, the Gator love was real out there, man. Everybody pulled up was showing big love. We had some young boys that do broadcasting at UF that pulled up asking for it.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And I never take that stuff lightly. It means a lot to me, man. So shout out to everybody that pulled up and showed love, dog, big time.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're about 30 minutes into our show, so let's jump in to the Alabama game. And this portion of our show is sponsored by our friends over at Roof Soldier. So give them a call. at 1-877-ROOFS-FL. Christmas is right around the corner, just a couple days away.
It really is now.
Maybe you're looking for something for your family for Christmas time.
It's actually down the street now. It's not even around the corner.
Yeah, it's down the street. You can see it. You're pulling up to it. Christmas is there, and you're like, what's one thing that I can get my family for Christmas time? And I can think of nothing better than a new roof. So give Roof Soldier a call. The 1-877-ROOFS-FL. Maybe your kids have been nagging and saying, Daddy, the water's dripping from the roof onto my bed. And you said, son, it's okay. But maybe you think to yourself, hey, this is the perfect time for me to not only fix the leak over my kid's bed, but also to think about the financial future of my home to make sure that I'm selling, I don't have to worry about it. So give Roof Soldier a call, 1-877-ROOFS-FL or roofsoldier.com.
I'm be honest with you. That was my kid. He let the roof leak and get the PlayStation.
Well, if you're unlike Silk and you get your kid a roof and a PlayStation, give Roof Soldier a call.
I'm talking about put a bucket down.
Yeah. 1-877-ROOFS-FL. All right, guys. 52-46.
Right.
Alabama beats Florida. A game that looked like it was a runaway at halftime.
And we could have won it. We played.
We still could have won the game, bro. Like with everything going on, and we still could have won the game.
Yeah. So let's start. I don't even know how to break this game down because it was really a tale of two halves. You know, Florida goes in into halftime down 35-17, outscores them 29-14 to end the game. Has the ball with 20 some odd seconds left to win. So let's talk a little bit about the first half of that game first. You know, when we talked about it on the last show, we said that Florida had to play mistake-free football and really cause some turnovers and stop Alabama. I'll give them credit. They made some stops. They just weren't always able to capitalize on those. So,
can I chime in real quick?
Yeah.
I said on this show, and I said every pregame show that we did, that we needed three stops and a turnover. I think we got that. We just gave a turnover back.
But no, also, didn't we stop him on third down and we got a hands to the face?
Yeah.
With Zach Carter. So I think a time or two we stopped him on third down and we got like a flag or something like that.
We did that. And then there was one at the end of the game too.
Okay.
So we had a couple. You know, it's interesting because you look at the score and you look at what Alabama was able to do scoring the ball, and there was really no issue that they had. You know, they took advantage of everything that we said that they should take advantage of if they wanted to win. You know, Marco Wilson didn't have a great game. We struggled with stopping the run. We weren't able to be physical at the line of scrimmage, and we still weren't lining up correctly. We still had issues at safety. So Alabama did exactly, you know, what the game plan was. And Florida was still, you know, a potentially better used timeout and not taking a sack on the last play of the game from, you know, being able to go up and win that game. So shout out to our boys for how hard they fought.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm super proud of these guys, the way it came out and fought. There's a lot of times where they could have laid down in that game. And shouts out to the staff, because regardless of what we disagree with who they start and who they benching, they got guys that want to fight for them, you know. So there's no price on that. When you got guys, when you go down to a Bama team that everybody expecting you to get blown out by, and you keep putting up a fight until the very end, you got a shot to win at the end. I was impressed by the staff as far as like them instilling that into the program. That's how we know we're going in the right direction. But I'm super proud of Kyle Trask. You know, we took some sacks at the end. We played some guys I thought shouldn't have played. DeLance, same guys we cried about all season about the lack of performance and the lack of production from these guys. They end up costing us in the end. It is what it is at that point, but I'm super proud of the way this team fought and came out and played football on Saturday, man. And anybody hanging their head and saying anything different, they're just like, we know what the Gator standard is. It's winning national championships, not even conference championships. It's what we after. But you just got to be realistic with yourself. The football team and the football program we saw play on Saturday is a good football team and a good football program. So I'm just super proud. Before we get into critiquing these guys, I'm super proud of what I saw Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you. So, you know, we harp about the Gator standard all the time, and, you know, it fluctuates, you know, if our guys are doing it or not, you know, with some of the things that we see on the field. But, you know, Saturday, you know, we came out first half a little rocky a little bit. I think, you know, we only had a couple first downs and whatnot, and trying to stop them and trying to see what they were doing and whatnot. And again, we could do a lot of things better. But overall, as a team effort, I'm super proud of what our guys put on the field. I just wish we give that same effort every week. I mean, nobody gave us a chance in the world. And if you told me that, you know, we were going to have the ball down six going down with Calatrice on the last drive, I would take that any day of the week. So,
yeah, no, I agree 100%. And shout out to those guys and the way that they played. You know, they certainly could have, you know, rolled over. Right, Alabama is the team that's supposed to beat them. They come off of a tough LSU loss. They come into a game where even if they win, you know, there's still an outside chance that they don't make the playoff. And you know, it's easy to start looking ahead. It's easy to think that this is, you know, this is over and this game doesn't matter. And those boys fought their butts off. Shout out to Kyle Pitts, Trevon Grimes, Kadarius Toney, Kyle Trask. Shout out to a lot of people on the offensive side of the ball that did well, and shout out to, you know, some folks on the defensive side of the ball. You know, that Alabama offense is going to go down as one of the best and most productive offenses in college football history, and they were able to go toe-to-toe with them. Weren't able to get the one final stop that they needed, but you can't pin the whole game on them. So,
yeah, no, they came out to play. They did, like, we can critique it all we want, but the defense gave us an opportunity in the second half. Like, they shut them out in the third quarter. We had chances to go up a little bit and cut the lead just because they put together a good football quarter and probably the best game that we've seen from our defense all fall, considering the opponent. So,
right. I mean, Alabama has three of the top five Heisman Trophy candidates right now. They are just an incredibly good and well-balanced team that it's very, very hard and very, very challenging to stop them. You know, Florida did let up 52 points, and you can look at that and say that's an absolutely atrocious and terrible defensive performance. And
but shit,
and
we got 46.
Right. And on paper, right, it looks like it. But, you know, that was a game, that was a track meet game. That was a game where, you know, Florida was able to get some pressure and make some stops, but, you know, just missed one, you know, one more stop or, you know, one strange, you know, play where Trey Dean doesn't get blindsided by that hit, which to me looked like targeting. But we can talk about that if you need. But, you know, outside of that, you know, Alabama doesn't score. Florida's able to score on most of the drives that they had. You know, that could be a 14-point swing. And what does that mean? That means the end of the game, right? Or that means Florida wins the game. Or, hey, if Florida, you know, doesn't leave a minute and 20 seconds on the end of the second period.
Well, back to the Trey Dean thing. Trey Dean was my stat from the beginning of the game where I said we need at least one turnover. We got it, but we just gave it right back. Yeah. So and I think that was the difference in the game.
That also was a hell of a play, too, bro.
Man, I was so excited for that interception. Kid, man.
What? And I still am. I ain't going to cap. That was a hell of a play. Weird circumstances. Even if they don't even call targeting, at least look at it. They didn't even look at it.
That was a blindside hit if it wasn't. I mean, it's football. I ain't even going to. Yeah. That's not the reason we lost. I don't want to make no excuses. No. That was an incredible play by Dean. Incredible play by the Bama player because they didn't call it. So you can't knock it.
And that's his job. It's an interception. Yeah, right. You know, we talk about, you know, football getting soft. Well, he went out and made a football tackle. So,
but shout out to Dean and shout out to Brad Stewart. What Brad Stewart played?
Brad played crazy.
Hell of a football game. Yep. But you keep 13 off of my football field, and I think it's time for, like, I love Marco to death. I love the Wilson family to death, but it's just time to move on, man. We got to do some things in that secondary and get better for next year for sure. But incredible game by those two guys who we've been hard on. That secondary and that defense, I thought those guys played better than they played all season. We can also get better. And I also still want a new defensive coordinator, but that's besides the fact.
Yeah, we're going to definitely get into that here in a minute. I did think it was interesting, you know, that Donovan Steiner played, you know, 82 snaps. I think that Florida has
incredible,
that
guy get that many stats.
Yeah, and then Marco Wilson plays 76 snaps, all right? Marco Wilson had more snaps than Kyrie Elam did. Donovan Steiner and Brad Stewart led the team in total plays. But just overall, a bunch of missed tackles. Donovan Steiner, I think, had 4 missed tackles on the game. And I don't want to harp on him, you know, but at some point in time, you have to make the call to make the change just to see who somebody else is. Even if they're not as good in practice, at some point in time, you have to just see if somebody else can do something. And I know that they were a little light back there, but
I don't want to harp on it too much either, but it's just I was watching Keanu Neal play yesterday, and he keeps them out of the end zone. That's what a safety does, bro. Like, they come up and keep them out of the end zone and give your defense another opportunity. Our coach Heath used to always say, just give us a chance. And look at the national championship. No, wait, when we stopped them on fourth down at the goal line, and then we got an interception. We just got to tackle them and get your – you never know what can happen. But, bro, I see dudes catch the ball and freaking stiff arm the safety all the way to the end zone. And I'm like, what? Like, what type of shit is that, bro? Like, come on. And at what point do we – I mean, we're not saying these kids are bad kids at all whatsoever, but they're not really good at football. And what point do we say that shit?
Well, and at some point you have to think that some of it's got to be a confidence issue, right? I mean, you guys both played football, Ahmad. You obviously played at a slightly higher level than Silk did. But, you know, you have to imagine then, you know, confidence has got to be a part of it, right? Especially as a defensive back.
Right.
So I don't know, like, if you can talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, it's got to be demoralizing. And you can see the dejection on some of their faces, you know, Marco, Steiner.
It looked like it's like almost a defeated look.
Yeah, like that they knew that was going to happen, and then they hang their head, and you're hanging your head, not able to get lined back up, and then it happens again, and you just continue to beat yourself up. So that's what I'm worried about, and I'm not sold that they're getting the right coaching to be able to get out of that funk, because it just looks like a lot of hanging heads out there.
Yeah, it's all about having basically amnesia in the back end. I know that sounds cliche, but, you know, you almost have to forget and try to shake back and make a play. I mean, it's all about making plays. That's what you're out on the field for. So when you do make a play, yes, it's cool to celebrate with your teammates sometimes, but get your ass lined up, because that's what you're there for. All right? So we're going to celebrate doing something that we're supposed to do. Yeah, we have fun, and you know, you practice and you prepare all week to get to the game to make a big play, to make a big tackle, to make a touchdown on defense, and, you know, so you can celebrate. But, I mean, when something like that happens, as far as getting caught on or getting beat for a touchdown or whatever, you got to have amnesia, because, you know, the team's looking at that and look at you as a liability. They come right back.
Yeah, Silk, anything on that?
I don't even know where y'all at right now.
Yeah, honest. No, you're good.
Cush is big a little bit.
Hey, Cam, keep that the show. So let's talk a little bit about the game as a whole. Any other, you know, kind of big issues that you saw that were glaring? I don't know if I saw any. I thought the play calling on offense was interesting. You know, Florida doesn't get a lot of rushes. I think they end up with maybe 20 total in the game. Let me get the exact number here. They end up with a total of 20. Kyle Trask taking 9 of them for 23 yards – or 26 yards, pardon me. Were you guys surprised – and I know that Florida obviously didn't run the ball much this season, but were you surprised at how little they actually ran the ball with their running backs, with only
7
total carries from running backs?
No, I wish we would have ran less, and particularly with Kyle. Like, let's go. I was shocked sometimes at the play calling that we stopped attacking. I thought Bama's secondary was suspect. Shorter had an opportunity right there with Kyle. Missed on what he did, a little hezzy, little stop and go.
He was like, naked down the sideline.
We should have been doing more of that stuff, attacking downfield. So that's what my disagreement with the play calling was with those runs. Now, we've not shown that we can run the ball or wanted to run the ball all year. So why are we in a championship game?
We were trying to run the ball on second down too, like second and long. So then we try to run the ball on second and long, don't get any yards. Now it's third and long.
Now, a couple of them shits work on Kyle. We call them slipping with Kyle, to be honest with you.
A couple of them did.
I still don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think at that point, like, the kid's up for a Heisman. You know, he's had a hell of a historic season. Let's put all our fate in the rest of the season on his arm in the final game. I didn't want to see no running. Let our balls hang out. Let's go all for it right now. Put it on this kid's hand, like his arm. We playing with house money anyway, right? So I didn't like the run game. Like we didn't do a good job all year trying to establish the run. It was trying to keep them honest a little bit in the championship game, but nobody has to be honest when they know you don't want to run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Florida did put the ball in Kyle Trask's hands, right? I mean, he threw the ball 40 times.
It should have been 60.
Well, yeah, I mean, they needed to run. They only ran 60 total plays, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That was just good for half, right?
You see the vibes?
You had to make sure he knew right then.
Yeah. I want to make sure he knew, but he obviously.
Yeah, we're on the same page, buddy.
Yeah.
Dude, 60 plays? Yeah, 60 passes. That's where I'm at with it.
You know, I thought, you know, Kyle Trask did an outstanding job. 408 yards is more than they've allowed against LSU and Arkansas combined, more than they let up against any team this season. Actually, I'm going to look to see, because Alabama doesn't let up that kind of passing yards through the air.
We got money on them people down the field. I had a fan that hit me up.
That's the first time since 2016 against Clemson that Alabama's let up 400 yards passing.
I keep telling people our wide receiver room getting like Clemson's, but whatever. What was I about to say?
We got
money. We got money on these people down the field. We could have threw the ball down the field all game. I didn't see a reason for us to run the ball. The opportunity was there. Kyle did what he wanted to do. I had a fan on Instagram. That's what I was about to say. So I had a fan on Instagram who hit me up, and we talked about last year the struggles that Kyle Pitts had scratching the field. I don't think he had that issue this year. I think when we had to, we missed some throws here and there. But I do want to give props and congrats to the dude. Like, we made shit happen down the field. I think in this game, in the championship game, we should have threw the ball down the field more. When you're playing with house money, play like you're playing with house money.
Right.
Yeah, I thought a couple things, and I know I shouted him out earlier, but I thought that Trevon Grimes really has improved over the last few games.
He really
made himself some money. I think that he was going to probably get drafted regardless, but I think that he's solidified himself into a solid mid-round draft pick there. Kadarius Toney had another great game. And then, I mean, talk about Kyle Pitts. May go down in history. I don't know if stats are going to do it, but I think overall as a complete player, Kyle Pitts might go down as one of the top five tight ends in college football history.
Ring of honor, my man, Kyle Pitts, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be a first-team All-American. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but to end his career on the touchdown pass that he did to snag that one to bring Florida, within four, I believe, just an incredible play. So shout out to those boys because they really hooped it up that game.
Absolutely.
Let's break down the game a little bit more. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to Lee Friedland of the law firm of Friedland and Associates. He's going to handle auto accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home cases, criminal matters, personal injury cases in every jurisdiction within the state of Florida. Give him a call at 1-800-95-INJURED or visit yourfightourbattle.com. Again, 1-800-95-INJURED, yourfightourbattle.com. Any final thoughts on the game, guys, before we move into kind of big picture and looking back on the season a bit?
I just hope we take that same passion, that same energy to this bowl game. That's really all I can ask for. I mean, the guys played their hearts out. We don't want to screw this one in. We got the talent to run these boys out the stadium, so we might as well just go ahead and just keep the momentum.
Yeah, we'll talk about the bowl game in a little bit. I'm excited about the bowl game as well. Not just the guys that are leading, but the guys we got in the holster a little bit. Just super proud of this team, man. Anybody listening got recognized, we just played one of the best Bama teams ever, or one of the best college football teams and the best offense in college football history. 2 years in a row, we played teams like that. We played LSU like that last year. They ended up winning it all, but we played them boys down to the wire and could have won that game. We came back this year in a roller coaster of a year, and we lost some games that we should have won. But last night, Well, Saturday night, that was a game, one of the best teams in college football history, and we had a chance to win at the end. We putting money in the bank, man. You know, we got some changes we do need to make as far as the DC, I think. I think we need to get better in the recruiting room. We need to upgrade that thing and get some more recruiters in here to hang out with Coach Coop and Hova, whoever else in there. We need to upgrade that room a little bit and get some higher-end recruits. But we on the right pace and the right track, man, to a national championship, man. And I just want to let that be known for sure.
And I think what this has shown me, I think that this is my final thought, is that Florida's not that far away. You know, I know that you have a couple of generational players in there with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts, you know, but I think what we've seen is that Dan Mullen can scheme up this team. They can win despite some, you know, deficiencies on the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball. I think as they shore up a couple of those things, and I hope to see that in recruiting, but also in the transfer portal, that Florida really schematically has one of the best coaching staffs in America in terms of what they're able to do on the field on a Saturday. We lost some games this season in weird ways, unpredictable ways, but they bounced back against this game against Alabama. And that when Florida is firing all cylinders, they are amongst the top four teams in college football, and you can't tell me otherwise. And, you know, if they don't have a weird fluke fumble or just a very weird overall game against LSU, Florida would be playing in the college football playoff.
We should be right now.
Yeah. And I think that Florida right now looks better than Ohio State. I think they look better than Notre Dame. And I think that we could get in a boat race against Clemson.
But to that fact, the reason we're not too is the reason we're holding our staff accountable. Because I think we should have won the A&M game, and we should have won the LSU game. And then we fought Bama like we just fought Saturday. Guess what? We in the playoffs with those two wins. So we got to hold our staff accountable. That's why we want upgrades and to fix a lot of things, because right now we should be in the playoffs. But that's not going to take away from us being on the right path and, you know what I'm saying, the right trajectory towards getting this another trophy in the building.
Yep. Ahmad, do you have a final season thought? Obviously, we'll break down the season more in the next couple of weeks, but any kind of one final parting season thought?
You know, we parting ways with some guys that played a lot of football here, and now it's time for these young guys to pick up the rifle and keep it moving. We lost three games this year at least, and you know, next year we got a little tougher schedule, but I still think that we can get everything we want to get accomplished. So you know, good luck to the guys that's leaving and, you know, in their future endeavors, but you know, I'm excited to see these young guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's get into the game a little bit. And I guess this is as good a time as any to do another ad read here. So, your shout out to my friend Carlton Black with the Envoy Mortgage Group. Carlton Black and I, Carlton, man, I wish I could have seen you. Reen is a buddy of yours, and I know that you said hello. Was hoping that I was going to get the chance to see you. But again, if you're in the state of Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Virginia, give Carlton Black a call, 404-769-5501. Give him a call if you're interested in home loans, conventional loans, FHA loans, VA loans, fixed rate loans, adjustable rate mortgages, jumbo loans. You can refinance your home at a historically low rate. Give yourself a Christmas present by giving yourself a refinanced mortgage. Give him a call at 404-769-5501 or email him at cblack@envoymortgage.com. So if you're looking, or you're a real estate agent, give him a call. Again, Carlton Black, 404-769-5501.
It's a small world. So shout out my man, Reem. He was just like, yo, man, one of y'all sponsorships on the show is my boy. I know him as well. So shout out to Georgia. Shout out to all the Atlanta hookups.
Yeah, I'm going to find myself in Atlanta a lot more. Shout out to our friend Alan Horn, who sponsored our weekend and all of the events that we did up there. So if you are looking for insurance, reach out to Alan Horn.
Alan, what'd it do, baby? I had an amazing time in Atlanta. I appreciate you, man.
We appreciate you, Alan. Going in, Florida is going to be playing Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. Kyle Pitts has announced, so far is the only one that has announced that he will not be playing in that game. I would imagine that we will get a few more opt-outs here in the not-too-distant future.
Who you got for opt-outs?
I think Kadarius Toney is going to probably opt out, if I were to guess. And this says nothing about them other than protecting their health and safety. I wouldn't be surprised if a Trayvon Grimes also announces that he's going to opt out of that game as well. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I wouldn't be surprised if you get, you know, a random opt out or two from a player that's just kind of over it. Maybe a player that didn't have a great season, or maybe is just ready to move on. Maybe somebody that might enter the transfer portal. But I mean, outside of Grimes and Tony, I think that everybody else will probably play. I don't think Kyle Trask will opt out of this game, although, I mean, it wouldn't be unreasonable if he did. Well, who do you have?
I just have Tony. I think Grimes need this game, especially with Kyle Pitts out. He could get him some buckets and up his draft stock a little bit. So, only one I got that's possible is probably Tony.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah. Oklahoma's interesting because this year they actually have a decent defense. They're ranked 20th in the country right now, just in overall defense. But when you look at who they played, a lot of those facts and figures get absolutely skewed by the fact that they played some really crappy teams like Southwest Missouri State and Kansas and Baylor, who just didn't look very good this season. But when they played Iowa State, Texas, Iowa State again, Texas Tech, some teams that put up points, I mean, they were letting up more than 400 yards a game, more than 7 yards per play. So I think that, you know, this is a chance, like you said, Silk, for a guy like Grimes to come in and make an impact.
Right. I don't know what to expect out of this game, I'll be honest with you. In the wide receiver room, if Grimes was a sit-out, I wouldn't mind if my young wide receivers got some action this game. I do want to win this game by all means. I want 9 wins. But if players decide to sit out some veteran guys, I'm not mad at the experience that I could get with Xavier Henderson, Weston, and a lot of these other young guys in the wide receiver room, you know. But we're playing Oklahoma. Could they beat us? Yeah, they could beat us. Our defense has been fooled. But I don't know what to expect from this game. I guess We'll decide. We'll figure out more as this get going. But I wouldn't mind going to Dallas. But other than that, I don't know what to expect from this team or these coaches.
The game's only in 9 days, right? It's on the 30th. So you don't really have much time off. You have the holiday, you know, time in between.
Yeah, it's
so
quick.
It really is a quick turnaround. And I know that Dan Mullen said that they're going to give some time to relax and everything else. So it's not a traditional year where you get your additional practices to be able to really prepare. You're going against a team that you haven't played since Ahmad's team won the national championship in early 2009. And that was a game for the ages, two very different teams on both sides of the ball. But Oklahoma's good. I mean, they started off the season slow, a couple of weird, tough losses at the beginning, but have really, kind of showed up the last, number of games this season and are on a 7-game winning streak, Big 12 champion. So,
yeah, like I said, it's going to be an interesting game to see what team we pull into Gainesville with.
Yeah, they put up points. They put up points. So outside of that, I mean, we're going to do a much bigger review next week after Christmas about breaking down that game and what to expect from that game as a whole. But I guess just one quick thought. What do you guys want to see out of that game?
I think we can waste our time on that game, but I think the biggest elephant in the room, Dan, is like what changes we're going to make on this staff.
Yeah. Well, let's get to that then.
Shout out to that game. We'll talk about that game more. We got another show before that game, but I think the media and the press asked Dan about Todd Grantham's coaching status and employment status for the bowl game, and he said he's going to be there. So I think a lot of fans is curious about that whole dynamic of upgrading his staff or what's going to happen.
I think his exact words were he's going to coach in the bowl game. So I kind of took that as
he out of here.
Yeah, he's going to coach in the bowl game, and that's it. I mean, there's different ways you could go with it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I took it, it's going to be interesting. Dan, you know better than me. I mean, how many guys we have getting recruited that's going to say, hey, Todd Grantham's gone, I'm gone. I mean, not many, right?
Well, most of them have signed, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they've all signed, and I think the ones that haven't It's okay. I don't know if anybody would leave, even if they had already signed and they had the chance to leave, if Grantham leaves.
Are they watching the game with us? Or what?
Right, because I think a lot of them right now, they see an opportunity for impact. But I also think it depends on who those replacements are. And a lot of people have asked, hey, Dan, hey, Silk, hey, Ma, like, who would you hire as a defensive coordinator? And my position, speaking for myself, is I don't really know who the options are. There's a lot of great people that you can look on paper, and they look solid, right? You know, Five and I, Jacquez and I got into a little bit back and forth today about the defensive coordinator from Cincinnati when I asked a question, hey, is this Luke Fickell's defense or is this Freeman's defense, right? You don't really know, you know, what you're getting into, but I don't know what Dan Mullen's relationship is to the defense coordinator at Cincinnati, right? What we've seen just as an overarching theme about Dan Mullen is he's going to go with guys that he's comfortable with. Right. So I'm curious to see what he does. I don't know how the question about Todd Grantham was worded, but I definitely don't see Todd Grantham on the sideline at Florida next season. I'm willing to make a definitive statement that I don't see that happening.
And then if we're making them type of calls, I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? Like the direction we're going, but we got to be able to make changes and adjust. I think I was on the Grantham hive, but when you got a football season like this and you just can't get stops to get a win and the disorganization and not being able to get lined up, that's just something totally different. And then I don't think guys been developed that quick. So yeah. And then we got to talk about C-Rob in that aspect too, because we've been tying C-Rob to his hip this entire time, whether he got mentioned for jobs to NFL or other college jobs, we've been tying C-Rob to his hip. So if we're getting rid of Ty, what you thinking about C-Rob?
Yeah, you make a great point, right? I mean, we have always said on this show that we are going to hold everybody accountable in positive and negative ways, and there's got to be a question mark. I think there's a question mark when it comes to development, when it comes to the play of the linebacker group, and it comes a little bit with recruiting. We're going to talk a little bit later about it in the show, but you just lost another linebacker with redshirt freshman Josiah Pierre, who announced that he's going to transfer today. So that room is looking a little bit thin, both figuratively and literally, both a lot of players that are undersized for an inside linebacker position, and then just the overall numbers at that position are thin. And I've got some question marks about that, right? You know, when C-Rob came over, he came over as a graduate assistant from Mississippi State, making $80,000 a year. He comes in, makes an impact on the recruiting trail, has some good players, has a guy like David Reese, you know, in there as your kind of your top dog. And then when he's gone, you definitely saw Ventrell Miller have, you know, some good ups and, you know, some good ups this season, but also some downs. Amari Burney didn't play very well this season. James Houston had a very up and down season. We didn't see much of Derek Wingo. We didn't see much of Tyron Hopper. Mahmoud Diabate was playing middle linebacker for some strange reason. So like, it's just an interesting room right now. And C-Rob also has to be held accountable. I think when you talk about this defense, there's only one coach that's untouchable, and that's David Turner. I think Torian Gray, is second. And then after that, there's a big drop off to C-Rob, and then Ron English, and then Todd Grantham, who, you know, is your CEO of that defense. And somebody's got to be held accountable, because they not only weren't a great defense in stopping teams, they couldn't even get lined up correctly.
Okay, dude, so you think he leaves with Todd?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think if there's an opportunity for him to leave, and it's a better situation, but I wouldn't be surprised if – yeah, I mean, that's just a tough question.
Because a new DC probably want to bring in some of his guys, right? So even if you don't leave – that's the thing. Like, I don't think if we get rid of Todd, that's just we got DC and then he keeps the rest of these assistants. I think if we bring in a new DC, he's gonna want to bring in some of his guys as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you get when you hire a new defensive coordinator, is everybody's gonna want to keep the same. Hey, maybe that means David Turner's gone, right? Maybe that means that C-Rob is gone, or maybe that means that Torian Gray is gone. So, you know, a lot of people talk about, making these holistic changes, like you said, and bringing in a new defensive coordinator, that's going to likely mean other changes. I think if Todd Grantham goes, C-Rob probably goes with him. C-Rob ended up at Mississippi State because of Todd Grantham. He was a player for him when he was over at Georgia. So I think that he probably does leave, depending on the situation, of course. But,
all right.
I mean, if I'm him, you've got to attach yourself onto somebody that's going to take care of you. And, I mean, Grantham's helped C-Rob go from a graduate assistant to making, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, which ain't bad.
Right on. One time for Brun Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured from the Panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg is the best of the best when it comes to car insurance, elite customer service. If you need a home, auto, renter's insurance, a wagon, a motorcycle, or even your life, hit my man Greg up, 954-589-2204, big coverage, big policies. And I'm right with you, man. I just think, we get a new DC. I'm just of the impression, I'm not married to anything on the defensive staff. I like some of the coaches on that side of the ball, but if they got to go for me to get a new DC and a new head man on that side of the ball, I'm all for it.
Is there anybody that you would absolutely want this defensive new defense coordinator to keep?
I'll keep the new DC to keep. I like C-Rob. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not mad at C-Rob. I like him. I don't think that I think the overall direction. I think you need young guys that can recruit. I think he's one of those young guys that recruit. If he gets a DC that's out there recruiting like he is and just as zealous, I think his recruiting could go up a little bit. But I'm not mad at keeping C-Rob. I'm not mad at keeping Torian Gray. English is cool, but he can go. I don't think my safety room has gotten better. It's gotten worse every year, if anything. I like Turner, but he's likely – like, I don't think these guys are going to stay if we get a new DC, but only one that I'm really just, like, got to go on my defense side of the ball is probably Grantham and English.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see what changes are made there and who you bring in. I mean, the question is when you bring somebody in, what do you go for? Do you go with kind of youth and kind of that up and comer? Do you go with
the because you got to know?
I think you got to go somewhat with youth too, man. Because you know it's a new generation. These guys want to feel somebody they can relate to. You know, they want to call you on the weekend or whatnot. I mean. I ain't trying to call no 60-year-old dude, dog. That can't even relate. You know what I'm saying? I need somebody that, you know, you need to do this on this play, you know, and I can relate to
it. You bring a bat on my end, bring a lot to you.
I need somebody young, bro.
Yeah, I feel you. Definitely. I mean, C-Rob is young, so we ain't got that excuse in the linebacker room. I want a guy that can just adjust to the talent he has. Like Dan Mullen can do on the offensive side of the ball. He can say, yeah, I like running quarterbacks, but I can adjust to an elite, accurate passer. So we need that type of mind. Dan Mullen got to find a guy like himself on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know who the answer is to that, but I need a guy that the whole league ain't got to figure out. I think the whole league got Todd Grantham figured out. They know exactly what he want to do and when he want to do it. We need a fresh face and somebody that can innovate on the dime, you know? Like, when things change, I can change too, and we can get by and win some football games.
Yeah, I am under the impression that Dan Mullen is going to probably go more with an experienced hire than an up-and-comer. I don't think that this is one of those, you know, promote somebody that's a position coach now. For everybody that's talking about it, I don't see Corey Raymond coming to Florida.
Oh, yeah, I don't want Corey Raymond either.
I don't see Dan Quinn taking a NFL head coaching job or getting fired from that and ending up as a defensive coordinator back at Florida.
I wouldn't mind Dan Quinn, though. I wouldn't mind him either,
but, I mean, come on. I don't see Marquand Manuel leaving to become our defensive coordinator. Or, as I saw yesterday, somebody said, oh, he should come be our safeties coach. He's currently a defensive backs coach in the NFL. I don't see that happening. We need to be realistic about who that is and who that person might be. I don't know who's
out there. That's why I'm not just screaming out names, bro, because I got names I would like, but I don't know what's realistic. So I'm just going to chill. I ain't got no name. I learned my lesson from throwing out names and coaching hires.
Yeah, we definitely have. So like I said earlier in the podcast, I'm not going to opine on who I think it should be until I know that the decision has been made, because I've thought long and hard about a lot of different decisions that that were going to be made that never did, and wasted those brain cells doing so.
I need a recruiter though.
I
need a recruiter. I don't care who this guy is. Make sure he can recruit.
That's the most important part.
Make sure you get recruit, because we got I don't think Dan is the biggest recruiting fan. I think it's kind of obvious at this point. Give me a guy on the other side of the ball that could be the yin to his yang a little bit.
Yeah, we need a dog. We need somebody. We need a group of dogs. And I know that's a feeling internally.
Not just recruit, evaluate as well, because I don't think Grantham has been a bad recruit. I think he's done his. No. Star wise, he's done his thing, but evaluation wise, I don't know. I think he's lacking a little bit in the tweeter mode.
I think that's probably our biggest frustration is that we've consistently gone after this idea of athleticism and just getting these freakishly athletic kids that don't have a role. I want to see probably some better direction in that recruiting. Right. A lot of guys that are in between safety and linebacker and defensive end and defensive end and defensive tackle. Right. So I want to see that shored up a bit with a strategy. And Todd, for all intents and purposes, seems like a good guy, helped lead some Florida defenses to some top 20 nationally ranked defenses during his time here. But when you look back on this season, you shouldn't be able to average more than 40 points a game and have three losses on the season. And it's not like Florida scored, 150 points in one game. They were consistently putting up 40, 45 points, and we're still in dogfight. So that's just it's just an unacceptable standard. And if you're going to say that you hold people to a Gator standard, then it's time to make sure that you put that standard out there and make sure that everybody knows that this is a standard that has consequences if you don't live up to it.
I want to know, like, next show, I want us to prep for, get like head count of how many spots we got available post signing day. Cause I want to see exactly what we can attack in the transfer portal for us to make another run next year. Cause I do think we need to hit the portal for some guys for immediate playing time next year in certain spots.
Yeah. Florida will have a couple of spots open right now. Their roster is pretty full. They've done a pretty good job of filling the spots that McElwain and Mullen seem to always have going into the season, obviously depending on how the transfer portal goes and when they declare. So that might be something that we talk about in a couple weeks as it starts to get announced. But you're going to start to see a slew of people announce their name to the transfer portal this week and next week, especially as some team seasons are over now. I know that there's an offensive tackle from Maryland that got tagged by about 50 different people with some Gator emojis. So
shout out to the emoji workers. Everybody got a job.
Yeah. The emoji gang is out there heavy. But I know that there's going to be a whole slew of people, without talking numbers exactly, where do you want to see Florida go, from a transfer portal perspective, just not name wise, but position wise.
Yeah. Mark me down for offensive tackle. Mark me down for safety. Mark me down for corner. Mark me down for linebacker. Like, I think we should be exploring all those positions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember, this didn't count either.
I think we need a safety out of there, man. I think we need a safety that's an alpha that can come in, get guys lined up on the back end.
Defensive tackle, all that. We need to hit the portal hard.
Yeah, man. So get some guys in there that play some football and ready to win.
So I think that's one of the main things this offseason we need to pay attention to let us know if we're going to be ready to make another run at Atlanta next year, is how we work the transfer portal. Because just suited roster as is, I don't know. I haven't investigated Georgia's roster like that, but I don't think we suited next year to make a run with where we're at in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And we know what our defense looks like.
Yeah, I think that Florida's biggest need is going to be in two areas. One is going to be a defensive tackle, and his two is going to be an offensive tackle. I do want to see Florida explore other options, like you said, Silk at safety. I think Jason Marshall coming in, Chester Kimbrough, Jaden Hill. I mean, it'd be nice to get another cornerback in there, but I think that Florida's all right back there. Linebacker is definitely something that I want to see. But Florida's going to have a glaring hole with Kyrie Campbell gone at that defensive tackle position unless he decides to come back to be able to get push and to be able to eat some space. Because I do think that there's going to probably be a move or a transfer at the defensive tackle position here announced in the not too distant future. So Florida is going to have a hole. And I think that those are my two biggest names. The biggest question that I have is, you know, if a guy is looking to transfer, you really have to do some in-depth research on why at a tackle position, because there's not a lot of elite defensive tackle transfers that are out there. I think, you know, we were excited about Mason Halter a few years ago and that turned out to be
you mean offensive tackle then?
Our offensive tackle. Sorry, that turned into nothing short of an unmitigated disaster. So I want to be careful about that. But Florida might not have any other option.
Yeah, honey, we need to explore. We need to explore any and everything. I'm not mad. Like, I'm not even mad at some of the guys. I can't say what we don't have, because we could easily have the Kyle Trask of tackle sitting behind some of these tackles that we have right now. So I'm not gonna say we don't have the talent on board, but from what I've seen that was put on the field and them, the lack of wanting to bench guys like Gene DeLance, to me, that means we need more help in the trenches.
Yep.
That's just like my impression, because I will hope that nobody's better sitting behind these guys. I will hope that we have all right, let me just leave that alone. Whatever.
No, I want to give a shout out, because I don't think that he's gotten as much of a shout out this season is Stone Forsythe, who I think earned himself some money this year. I think if it wasn't for some of the other issues with the offensive line, he would be talked about a lot more heavily in terms of what he did this season to be able to anchor the left side of that line. I think that the pair of him and Richard Garage really did a great job this season against what they dealt with. And I want to give a shout out to Gene DeLance, who they announced graduated the other day. So shout out to Gene DeLance for graduating.
Do we have air horns?
Pew, 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 pew.
I'm gonna take a shot to that for sure.
That's 1792. Anything else? Bo Pelini got fired today. Ed Orgeron's friend, LSU defense coordinator Bo Pelini, gets fired today.
I thought he kept his job after beating us. Shout out to LSU
for making the moves that need to be made. Talked about it already. Josiah Pierre, 8 tackles on the season. He is going to transfer. Word on the grapevine is unhappy with his ability to get on the field and play this season. Pro Football Focused announced their All-American team. Kyle Pitts, first team. Kadarius Toney, second team. Kyle Trask, third team. Let me ask you guys. Do you think all three of those guys make the more traditional All-American lists at all? And do you think of anybody else that could potentially make it on to an All-American list for Florida?
Yeah, I think Kyle Trask is All-American, first team. He may not. I think Kyle Trask makes it onto one of the All-American teams that gets him a break outside.
Yep, I agree.
Anybody else I think could be added to it? No, I think we're on par with everything. I think the guys that are being acknowledged are the guys that need to be acknowledged. I don't think we have any surprises.
Yep.
I think the only other name could potentially, and I mean, this is very, very light, would be Evan McPherson, the kicker, but I don't know if he makes it. He had a kind of a mediocre end of the season there, but Kyle Pitts, again, first team, Pro Football Focus. Kyle Trask, third team. Kadarius Toney, second team.
Do y'all think Toney finds a way to get a brick outside?
I think he does. I think that somebody's going to give him the credit that he deserves. Do you have to be – is that just a first-team All-American to get a brick outside?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
First-team. So I think that Kyle Pitts is the –
As a guy that has a brick outside, yeah.
As two brick winners, Uncle Silk and Ahmad. So I think that Kyle Pitts is definitely going to get a brick, right? 100% chance Kyle Pitts gets an All-American brick outside. What percentage chance do you think that Kyle Trask gets one? Like 80%? Greater than that? Less than that?
Yeah, mark me down for about 90.
90?
Yeah, he got to get one. Like, this is an incredible
Somebody's
season.
Got to give it to him, yeah.
Yeah, he got to get first team. Get my guy a brick outside. He deserved that shit. What do you think, Ahmad?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's going to be tough.
You think it's a chance he gets had?
It's a chance, for sure. For sure.
This is what I think is that there's – I think that there's a lot of things that stack against Kyle Trask getting that first team brick. I think that you have Mac Jones, who's the quarterback of the undefeated number one team.
And then you got Trevor Lawrence.
And then you got Trevor Lawrence, who's kind of that lifetime achievement award guy. I think that if you were to look at facts and figures alone, that Kyle Trask deserves it.
I mean, that's what the All-American is about. It's not really about the trophy hype and all of that. I think you got to find a way
to figure out.
Like Trevor Lawrence, yeah, he can't even be in the conversation, in my opinion. Let's have this conversation. What do you guys feel about, and what's your opinion on universities' lack thereof of Kyle Trask's Heisman push? I think today on Monday evening we've gotten this push for Gator football, to be quite frank.
That was one of the things that we used to hear. Back when we played, was that the university don't push for guys to get individual awards. And that was always something that was buzz around the town or whatnot, or the university.
Yeah, but they push it now.
I mean, why? Do you think they only did that because the odds came out today?
I mean, I think they should have did it regardless.
Should have been doing that.
You can't be too cool for school.
Right.
You know, like these kids' career, they're fighting hard for certain things, man. Pull your resources. This Gator logo got a certain type of presence when we're pushing for things. I think Kyle Trask deserved for his shit to be pushed, man. Like, we all seen the type of season he was having. This whole university should put all his resources behind this kid.
No, we were saying that after like game five or six, bro.
Right. And he's having I don't want to curse on this show, but he's having a season that a two-star recruit would dream of. You know, like a walk-on would dream of, a regular player would dream of this, but this is a story made in heaven. Like, get behind and push this kid's narrative. So I'm not 100% in approval. They're waiting last minute to get behind this kid on a Monday night after some ratings and some polls came out. Now everybody's trying to push it. This kid's Heisman, All-American, all this push should have been weeks ago.
Like, his stats look way better. I mean, if we're going to pick the best player in America, I mean, look. No, what are you going to tell me that Mac Jones did better than Kyle Trask? His percentage was better? I mean, what else?
I mean, that's kind of it.
That's it. Literally, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, just that he's the quarterback of the number one team. I don't know. You know, everything that Kyle Trask has done is putting him in conversations with some of the best seasons of all time.
All time. Right?
Of statistically, number of touchdowns, number of touchdown passes, number of yards, touchdown interception ratio. Everything that Kyle Trask did this season, in my opinion, warrants him to be the best quarterback in college football this season, right? Florida lost a couple games, but none of those were because of him, right? I mean, the LSU game was kind of a wonky game. Still throws for over 400 yards. Comes back after two weird interceptions and still bounces back. And to me, that's what this award is about, or what awards should be about is, you know, what did this person do when they faced adversity? But ultimately, what did this person do, this season? I hate the idea of Trevor Lawrence being associated in it, right? I hate the idea that, Justin Fields was associated for a while just because they were supposed to be, you know, favorites in the past. But there's nothing that you can look on this season and say that Kyle Trask is not your most deserving quarterback. Now, if Devontae Smith wins the Heisman Trophy, I can't be mad at it. But I can be mad at Mac Jones winning because I think that Kyle Trask deserves it. And I think Kyle Trask deserves to be your first team All-American. But like you said, so for a recruiting department, for a department that does such a good job with recruiting graphics and everything else and the way that they do that PR, it's weird to me that they haven't been pushing these numbers.
This has been the policy. I don't think it's on the football, the staff. I think that's an administration, the UF thing. We can't be too cool for school. I want to tell UF how to do things. Shit. Obviously,
but they always they're so laid back, bro. They just they don't edge about everything, dog. You know, they just
if Bama's winning national championship out of the national championship and they push their kids and they're trying to get a Heisman campaigns going, we can't be too cool for school. We haven't won it forever. Like, who we think we is sometimes? Like, bro, these kids work hard for this stuff, man. Like, he put in a lot of work to have, like, the type of season he's having. I think we should have put our resources in trying to push his campaign. If it fails, it fails. Who cares? Like, we're not too cool for school. Who cares? Like, you know what I'm saying? As a kid, we love that doing something historically great season. I think we should have poured our resources in to push our resources into pushing his whole effort this year. I mean, it's not make or break. It is what it is. But for them to do it last minute, like, we're doing it anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's better to do it now than to not do it at all. But like you said, it's interesting, actually, because I look back like 2 weeks ago and they did a bit of a campaign and then they stopped. And I don't know why, because the numbers didn't change. I mean, yeah, you had the two interceptions, pardon me. But you still threw for touchdowns. You still had numbers go up.
Yeah, I don't think it changed because we never said anything about a Heisman. Like, we didn't make no, yo, this guy should be winning a Heisman. He putting up. It was never that. It was maybe putting out little highlights of his games on Gator football page.
Right.
But there was no real push as this is the best quarterback in college football right now. He plays at University of Florida. Right.
But like the 11 Heisman thing, like the number 11
that's
Heisman.
That was started by
Twitter, right?
Right.
So like why did Twitter have to start it? Why did Twitter have to recruit players? Why did Twitter have to start the campaign? All of these things, like you said, Silk, if Alabama can do it, if Clemson can do it, I mean, Clemson's hyped up people. Ohio State's hyped up people. We're not cooler than them. Social media, hype them up, put stuff out.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But you had a guy that just had three consecutive 400-plus yard games, four out of his last five. Five out of his last seven games he's thrown for more than 400 yards. And just now you're putting out there that he deserves this, you know, award. No, he deserved it weeks and months ago. You guys just didn't do enough to put him at the forefront of that pack. And if it wasn't for these kind of gaudy, audacious numbers that caught other people's attention, you'd have no idea, you know, how his season compares to other people that have historically won that award before. No,
this logo holds too much weight, and we could really swing our bat a little bit when we got guys like this, and that helps recruiting. Like, all that stuff helps recruiting. Having a quarterback at the Heisman, like having all these kids up for awards to win this stuff, all that helps recruiting, man. So we need to pour our resources in there. We're not too cool for school, bro. Mm-mm,
mm-mm. But Heisman votes were due today. I believe they're due later today. So we will see in a couple of weeks who wins the Heisman Trophy. If you guys were to call it now, who do you think wins the Heisman Trophy?
You can mark me down for Smith. I think Smith won it.
Yeah, I'm a Smith guy.
Yeah, I'm a Smith guy too. The only weird thing that I can see is if they split, but even still, then I don't think that that's enough for Kyle Trask to get it. I think that Kyle Trask is going to be invited. I think that he probably ends up finishing third or fourth, unfortunately. And I think that Trevor Lawrence is your lifetime guy that gets a lot of votes as well, although I don't think that he deserves to even be.
Yeah, I don't think Trevor has had one single moment this year. They beat the crap out of Notre Dame, who he didn't play the first time. Other than that, I don't think he has a Heisman moment. He's just going because he's Trevor Lawrence at this point.
Yep, yep. Outside of that, I don't think that there's much else to talk about. So bring us into a Manscaped ad read. Oh, and shout out to Auburn, who can't seem to find a head coach as well. Billy Napier turned down the job. Let's see who else.
Them people got turned down by Billy Napier?
Yeah. And then Steve Sarkisian, rumor has it that he's going to stay at Alabama. There are some very gaudy numbers. Somebody said that he's going to get paid $3.5 million to be the offense coordinator. I don't know if I totally believe that, but apparently he's pulled his name out of the running as well. So shout out to Auburn for being
he
this
pulled his name out of the head coaching hat for Auburn?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, he might be getting paid like $4.5 or something crazy. Yeah, Auburn's a big job. Like, we got crazy here, but for him to turn down a coordinator position to stay at Bama and turn to Auburn, that's like huge news. So I missed that today for sure.
While you do that read, I'll look to see if there's any other news, but that's about as wild as it goes when it comes to news across the board.
A shout out to manscaped.com, the best of the best when it comes to man's grooming needs. We was out in Atlanta this past weekend. It was, the weather was cold, nice and breezy. We had our jackets on. Didn't have to worry about perspiring or anything like that. But guess what? I still had my ball deodorant on deck. I was cool, and I was chilly, and I was willy, chilling with my ball deodorant. Use coupon code SG at checkout for 20% off. Make sure you get the Lawnmower 3.0, which is waterproof so you can use it in the shower, snag-proof so you won't cut your family jewels. Coupon code SG at checkout for 20% off, free shipping, manscaped.com, best of the best in man grooming.
Yeah, a couple people said that they got some stuff from Manscaped. So let us know. Don't get too in-depth with your reviews, but let us know how you like it. We'll obviously retweet all of those things. Shout out to our sponsors, all of them. Let's spread some Christmas cheer. What do you think, guys?
Let's do it. Let's do it, baby. Yeah. All right.
So the Thomas Firm, give them a call. Anything with insurance-related issues to your home or business,
Give them a call.
Roof Soldier.
Yeah.
Buy yourself a new roof for Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or just your birthday or just it's a random Tuesday. Let's get myself a roof.
A roof. That's roof, not roofies?
No. Don't buy roofies. Don't buy roofies.
Right on.
You can go to the podcast at UF and probably find some. How about our friend Carlton Black with Envoy Mortgage? Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, and Virginia. If you need a mortgage or if you need refinancing of your mortgage, give him a call.
Yeah, Carlton Lee Black.
Friedland.
Carlton
Friedland
Black Matters.
Yeah, Carlton Black Lives Matter. For sure. Lee Friedland, the law firm of Friedland and Associates. Greg Brunt, Financial Services.
Yeah.
Manscaped.com, promo code SG, 20% off. Central Properties Realty,
yeah,
who sponsors Facts Only. And then finally, Lemon and Lines, lemonandlines.com, for graphic needs. Everything else for Facts Only. Shout out to Spencer's Jerk and Jerk.
Big Meat. Big Meat.
Use promo code Big Meat for 10% off, or SGP 10% or 10 off, I think is the code. Just use the Big Meat. That's fine.
Just use Big Meat sounds crazy, but go ahead then.
Shout out to Alan Horn. I'm sure that I'm missing some other people as well, but to everybody that made
one time, this is not a sponsorship, but this is my man's. Shout out to Tennessee Mike for being one of the dopest fan of the shows ever. So shout out to my man Tennessee Mike, man, who does host some beautiful rooms downtown Atlanta. I oversaw Mercedes Stadium and a few cheeks that scraggled by in the middle of the night. So
that wasn't a bad view, was it?
Wasn't a bad view at all, man.
I opened the blinds to my window and I see Mercedes-Benz Stadium looking right at me. I was meant to be there. So big shout out to Tennessee Mike for the hookup there. Hey, and shout out to the 10 new Patreons that joined since last week. As always, this show drops on Patreon first. As always, all of our video content, everything that we're going to do is going to drop there. We're going to probably be doing some more live streaming here soon. That's going to be on Patreon. If you're a member of Patreon, you always get a discount to the Stadium and Gale shop. So a lot of reasons to be involved in Patreon, but no better time than now to be involved. So shout out to everybody on Patreon. Shout out to those that joined since last week. I'm just going to shout out the names that they signed up with because some of them are funny. So shout out to Yogi Bear. Shout out to Seth Cotler.
Yogi Bear.
that was a terrible Yogi Bear impression. Blake Seuss.
Let me hear yours, bro.
Let me think about it for a second. Nubs and Dubs.
Hey, boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo.
Preston Fuller. Oh, boy. I think that's it. That's definitely not 10 names. But Joshua Cook, Josh Curto, Fernando Spada, TJ Alcantara.
I thought it was TJ Pittenger. Are you trying to listen?
No, TJ Pittenger doesn't support this podcast.
He should. He should get some advice.
Yeah. So we won't support his. Right. So outside of that, any other commentary? Hey, boo-boo. Pretty good. All right.
She's not better than mine, Dan. You have time to practice, too.
Hey, Silk, I will see you on Wednesday. Any other parting thoughts before we close the show out?
Oh, we going on the boat Wednesday. That's crazy. I forgot about that. No parting shots, man. Thank you guys. Love you guys. So everybody that support the Stadium and Gale podcast and the Big Three Roll Up Network. It's been a dope ass season, and we're not done. We got a game in Dallas. We'll sort that out. Ahmad, you got any shout outs?
Nah. Shout out to Gator Nation. Gator Nation, baby.
I love it. Well, shout out to you boys. Shout out to everybody that pulled up in Atlanta. Shout out to this podcast. Greatest fans in all college football. I think Silk and I were talking about it. It means something for you guys to listen. It means something completely different for you guys to show up. We had people drive in from all over the state of Georgia, from Florida, that went out of their way, that weren't staying anywhere near where we held events, had family members that they brought with them, girlfriends, wives, husbands, boyfriends, that came and showed support. It really means the world to us. And the feeling of being recognized for putting out good content that you guys appreciate makes us feel like a million bucks. So shout out to all of you guys. I hope that all of you have a great holiday season. Enjoy time with your family. And we'll see you boys on Wednesday or next week.
Already. Who got a song?
You do.
I got the song.
Oh my gosh, you've got to play some trap music.
I don't have to. Oh, give me some Future. I'll tell you Future Up the River. How about that? Some different vibes. In the future, everybody hoping for and wishing for, but it's the future that I'm gonna give you. The future that you need in your life.
It's not the future we want, it's the future we need.
Right. Shout out to Reverend Future. Reverend Hendrix. Yeah.
All right. Let's take us out. Have a Merry Christmas.
Same corner, same time. We out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to go back in time, watch it freeze up. I'm trying to smoke some herb on the scene. Yeah, some things you say I don't hear you. Yeah, it's just the ways of the world, but we're still too majestic. Yeah. It's just the ways of the world, but the niggas still the best. The way I'm shining every day, you might get blinded. I'm out my mind every day, I feel like flying. If you don't fuck with me, my nigga, I don't give a fuck. I got some partners, they gon' send you up the river. Then I keep the same aesthetics, I got the fuel unleaded, I never forget it. Dip my numbers, watch it pile up, I can hit the lotto. I can guarantee you I'm the one that got the style from. Time was getting hard and my money got older. Dropping back the top, I got the rail on my shoulder. Over and over, gotta pull up, gotta roll up, gotta cover up my war wounds, no time to be sober. Flawless clarity, blinding my demons. You giving life a new meaning when you dreaming. On the block, we be scheming, serving fiending, rolling dice on the cement, yeah. I came from nothing, I don't want from nothing. They scheming on my blessings, yeah. Could've been the devil, but maybe it was karma. Surrounded by the drama, oh yeah. Need to get my conscience back. I can feel chronic in my chest. Sometimes I feel like I'm running out of breath. Hustling until the sun comes. Feeling like the last done, yeah. The way I'm shining every day, you might get blinded. I'm out my mind every day, I feel like flying. If you don't fuck with me, my nigga, I don't give a fuck. I got some partners, they gon' send you up the river. Did I keep the same aesthetics? I got the fuel unleaded, I never forget it. Never forget it. Ain't got no room for no mistakes and no flogy. It's the road I took, it was cloudy, it was foggy. Four, and I'ma smoke up like a Marley. It was cold, I remember days I was hungry. Bringing up, getting paid, nigga getting cocky. Give a fuck what a nigga say, pocket stocky. Came a long way from selling dope to ice rocky. All these platinum ice in the face, feeling godly. When it's said and done, I'ma make a billion like Kylie. Bitches feed me grace because I'm grateful and I'm styly. Ain't got time to wait on niggas, I'm gonna catch a body. Ain't got time to wait on niggas, I'm gonna catch a body. The way I'm shining every day, you might get blinded. I'm out my mind every day, I feel like flying. If you don't fuck with me, my nigga, I don't give a fuck. I got some partners, they gon' send you up the river. Did I keep the same aesthetics? I got the fuel unleaded, I never forget it. Did my numbers watch it pile up and hit the lotto. I can guarantee you I'm the one that got the style from.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.